Us at all. This is my issue as well. But we need to realize that affirmation is the number one thing this generation is after. Here's number two. He left the Jordan and went in the wilderness, and there he learned discipline. And the Lord had no sin to repent of. You know, he was baptized and had no sin to repent of. So he had no character issues to remodel. But he learned obedience through the things he suffered. And that was what the 40 days was all about. It was the Holy Ghost led him in the wilderness. So he could fast and pray, and he could sense the voice of God and the direction for his life and fight the devil successfully. Well, I've learned that if you do not offer a young person the opportunity to hear, this is the boundary and this is the consequence, they will never mature. You know, one of my sons got away from the Lord. He was riding along in a truck with a young boy who had some drugs under the front seat. He didn't have them, but this other kid did. They pulled the car over, arrested my son and this other boy, threw them both in jail. I get a call that night. Dad, I'm in jail, and my friend had these pills in a bag under the seat, and his daddy already came and got him. And, Daddy, I need you to come get me. I said, now, son, I love you. You know I love you. I'd give anything to be there instead of you. But I've told you your whole life, if you go 100 miles an hour down a center of a city and they put you in orange pajamas and put you in jail, I'm not coming to get you. You're doing something that you need to take some time and figure out what's wrong with your life. So I know it's bad there. He was sleeping on a metal tray, eating moon pies and tuna fish. That's what he was doing. The other boy's dad came and got him that night. He's the one who had the drugs or the pills. I left him there 3 weeks. And when he finally got out, he went straight for Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
I mean, went to this rehab thing the court ordered him to go to. He went there a year. Then he ran the program a year. Then he went back to college. He made straight A's. He got his master's straight A's. He married a godly psalmist in our church. He's got two kids. He's a CPA. One of the top in America. And my brothers and sisters, it was because of some consequences that he felt. You know, the father in the prodigal son had enough money to go get his son out of the hog pen, but he did not do it. You call that boundaries and consequences. I urge you to read the book by Dr. Cloud on boundaries for kids, where he just says you show them the boundaries, and when they step across it, you release the consequences. That's the only way they can figure out what character's all about. And so when you're discipling a spiritual son, you show them the boundaries, and you tell them the consequences, and you let them feel pain. The only thing that changes character is pain. Nothing else. And all this reasoning with them, little Johnny, about this and that, you wasting your time. You need to apply the Board of Education to the seat of higher learning.
Yeah.
Are y'all awake?
Because
that pain is what trains their character, and they're not going to do that again, just like me sneaking off to the door. And the third thing is he went to the Sea of Galilee. In the Jordan, he learned affirmation. In the desert, he learned discipline. But in the Sea of Galilee, he formed a team. He learned multiplication. And I'm just running through these quickly, but let me tell you, this is the secret of raising up spiritual sons. Now, I want to give you an illustration from my own life. In 2001, I started a team called Surge. And this team was 12 apostolic leaders from around the world that I knew, missionaries. I put them over a region each, like Brazil was one whole region, and then all the Spanish countries of South America was a whole region. Central America was one region. I gave them some money to find the best leader in each country of their region. So they formed a team. We planted 4 churches the first year, only with spiritual sons. And then it went to 30, 40, 50 the next year, 100. And now it's gone, I think it's close to 27,000 churches been planted through that multiplication. End of the year, we ended with 200 pastors we just couldn't even fund. We have more candidates than money. And it's multiplying out the wazoo. It's just multiplication has set upon us. So I understand this principle that I'm about to teach you, and it is this. Fellowship with all, partner with some, but build on sons. I got this from China. You fellowship with everybody. I can fellowship with Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, anybody that loves Jesus, believes in the resurrection, all of those. I can, even if they don't pray in tongues, I still can fellowship with that person. I can fellowship better if they do. But secondly, I'm going to partner with some. Now, see, I can partner with the Pentecostal Holiness. We believe basically the same thing. We might have a little shade of doctrinal difference somewhere down the line. But at the final analysis, I can partner with the Pentecostal Holiness. So Surge has planted many Assembly of God churches, Church of God, Pentecostal Holiness, I'm sure. I don't remember Pentecostal Holiness particularly, but we're wide open to do that. Because we can partner with people who believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We can fellowship with everybody, but we partner with those that doctrinally and spiritually compare with our DNA. And then we build on sons. Because sons is the actual building material of the church. That's what you build. You can drop a son in the middle of the desert and they carry your DNA and they will multiply an extension of your ministry. And I'm going to illustrate with Chris, whom I'll be with. And and they were telling me about Chris got his master's from your school here. Chris came to me in 2001. He said, I have Birmingham on my heart. I don't know anyone there. I have a website. I have no, don't know one person. God told me to go there. I encouraged him, sent a little group with him, paid his salary for a while. And his opening Sunday, he had 500 people there in a high school. Next thing I look around, 2-3 years gone by, he's got 5,000 in that high school. Paying, I think, $100 a week rent. That's all his expenses. And he had 5,000 people. And then he called me and said, I found 15 acres of land. Should I buy this? Blah, blah, blah. $15 million. I said, yes. He built the building, packed it now 3 or 4 times, seats 2,400 people. Well, then he calls me back on his fast. The Lord told him to open his first campus while he's building this other building. I said, let's go for it. He opens a campus down in Auburn. Opened another one in Birmingham, another one in Birmingham, another one. Every year he's opened another campus. It's been 17 years now. He's got 17 campuses. Mobile, Alabama is the last city in Alabama that he doesn't have a campus in. I'm talking about city. So think in Oklahoma, if you had, every city had one of those churches in it. Well, that's it. Now he's got a college with 1,000 students that are not paying tuition. He's raising $100 million. Endowments, so they do not pay tuition, nothing. And he handpicks those 1,000 kids. They've bought a $64 million building for the college. Are you breathing?
Amen.
That's right. And they're going to take those 1,000 students and plant a church in every hamlet of Alabama. Every 1,000 person village is going to have a Church of the Highlands in it. It's unbelievable. I'll be preaching there Sunday. Now they go to the prisons and said, can we have a Church of the Highlands in this prison? And they said, sure. They got 800 men in that service with ushers, greeters, just exactly like their church. 800 men. Now they're in 16 prisons in Alabama. They're in almost every prison. They broadcast live from their church on Sunday morning, packed with prisoners all over the state. He's just completely taking over the state of Alabama. He's the number one church there by far. 50,000 attending every Sunday.
Hallelujah.
That's the power of a son.
Jesus.
He was hanging sheetrock with us the year he left. We opened the South Campus. He was hanging sheetrock and left us and went and raised up that type of a church. That's the son. And so you said, well, I got to get my next message ready. Really? You need to get your next leader ready.
Yeah.
Because you don't know. That guy that's in your church that looks a little goofy, but he shows up every week and he wants to sweep the floors, you don't know what's in that guy. That's who you're going to be building on.
Jesus.
Now, you gather with preaching, but you build on sons. Let me just close with this. There's a process of fathering. It's called modeling. The process of fathering is modeling. And I just believe that you've got some people in your church that are watching you like a hawk. Individuals who have fastened on to you and they're watching every move you make. They watch how you walk into church with your wife. They watch every little thing you do. I've got young men in our church that do that. And that's called modeling. You say, I don't want anybody watching me. Welcome to the ministry.
Yeah.
I have a book called Model Man, and that's all I'm teaching men is to model. That's all. Because what you say doesn't matter. It's what you do. That's all they care about. And when you model correctly, they will do exactly what you do. I heard about a professor in Bible college that could really preach. And when he came under the anointing, he'd just sling his hair back. Well, all the little preacher boys, you know, would watch him. And years later, you could see who was in his class. Because when they would preach, they would jerk that head back. Even one bald-headed guy would jerk his head back. Because it's what they modeled. That's what they saw. And it was imprinted on them. And Paul told Timothy, 1 Corinthians 4:16, be imitators of me. Timothy will remind you of my ways in Christ. Now I'm going to close with this last statement. We could go a lot longer on this. When a team builds a team, this is the last statement on the whole thing. When a team builds a team, you enter multiplication. Take a picture of that. Write it down. This has come out of my life. It's what I've learned from others, but I've learned it myself in my own experience. If you want to multiply, you start with a team. Now, Billy Hornsby worked for me. He and Carl Everett, sitting on the front row here, ran our Cell Church Network. And Billy decided to start planting churches. I blessed him. He went to Greg Surratt's church. And he started building a team. You know who the first church planter was that Billy planted? Chris Hodges. Second one, Rick Bezette. And he built his original team. Joe Champion in Texas, 12,000, 15,000 people. John Siebling in Memphis, 10,000 people. Every church he planted, he formed a team of about 15 or 20 guys. And with that team, they began to build a team. Chris built a team. Rick built a team. And now they've multiplied to 800 churches in 17 years. It's called ARC. It all came from the forming of a team by Billy Hornsby. So here's the deal. If you're we're going to pray for you in a minute. But if you're saying, Lord, let a spirit of multiplication come on me, that's a wonderful prayer to pray. But Jesus did. You don't read of Jesus saying, Lord, let a spirit of multiplication come on me. He built a team. His team was his spiritual sons that he worked with, developed, trained their character. Like, what were y'all talking about on the road? Who's the greatest? What's that all about? He discipled them. He built them into sons. And then he left them, and they all built a team. Each one of them. Thomas built a team in India. They all went out and built teams. And multiplication of the gospel came through fathers raising up sons who raised up sons. Now, I had six children. My six have, and that's my team. That's addition. But my team has all married. And now my team is forming their team. And Melissa has three, almost four. And Jonathan has four. And and one has three and one has two, they're liable to all have five or six. I have 13 grandchildren going on 14. I could have 25 or 30 grandchildren. Ain't no telling. Really, I could have 35. Ain't no telling. Because my team has entered multiplication. I built my team, but when a team builds a team, immediately you enter multiplication. So we're going to pray over you, but you got to get this in your mind. If I want to multiply my church, I have to get a Peter, James, and John and start meeting with them every week and pouring my life into them, correcting them, affirming them, and all of those things until they begin to multiply. Amen?
Amen.
I wish we had time for questions and answers. We don't. But let's do this. How many of you are, let me say, under 50? Raise up your hand. You're under 50. Okay, I'm going to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. I think that's good. How many of you are a pastor and you are over 50? Raise up your hand. Let me kind of get at your pastor. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, all of you guys that are pastors, come up here that are over 50. Come stand up here across the front. And what we're going to do in a moment is we are going to have a laying on of hands from one generation to the next. So all of you guys that are my age, come on up here and get up and just form a line across the front so people can get to you. That's right. Thank you, Lord. And we might want to just string it out a little ways, maybe have 3 or 4 feet between you so you guys can get, they can reach you. Now, you that are under 50 and you're in ministry, whatever, what we're going to do, I want you to approach one of these people. And it really doesn't matter. They're all godly people. They're all leaders. But I want you to approach one of these people and I want you to come up and ask them to lay hands on you and speak a father's blessing or a mother's blessing over you. Okay? I want them just to speak affirmation over your life, pray over you, and something is going to begin to happen in this group. Right here in central Oklahoma, there's going to be, and I don't know, maybe 5 years from now, you will look up and you will see this room in this very meeting filled with 30, 40, 50 new young leaders that are running after the top leaders of this group. Amen. So let's pray. If we could have anyone that is a musician or anything, you a musician? Okay, please, Rodrigo. And we're just going to open this up and take the last 10 minutes, and we're just going to pray. So could you guys that are under 50, come on up, form a line in front of them, and just pick one of these leaders and go to them and let you pray. And when you finish that prayer, we're going to have Pastor Stewart to take back over again. Father, we just thank you. Why didn't everybody...